Well, friends, we are continuing a series of messages looking at Paul's letter, Paul's epistle to the church in Ephesus. And we're up to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. And here is again is where Paul, the letter writer, breaks into a prayer. And this is the second time he has done that in the book of Ephesians. And so we have a prayer for Christians, and this is number two, okay? So Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, is God like the little black box, that is secreted away in airplanes somewhere? After an airplane crash, that little black box is searched for relentlessly by the National Transportation Safety Board until it is found, because that box knows everything that happened to that plane. The little black box knows. Now it's the job of the experts to figure out how exactly and what exactly that little black box contains. What happens to the plane is a mystery until the little black box reveals what went on. The mystery is tucked away inside the little black box. Sometimes I think God is like a little black box. God has answers to all of life's questions, and we sure have a lot of them. God has plans tucked away for the future of the world, and it's a good thing because the future sometimes looks really bleak. God has resources that will achieve his purposes, good thing. And God has directions for how things are put together and taken apart. God has the inside story of all that goes on in our hearts. God has it all recorded there before the creation of the world, like that flight recorder inside that little black box. Next Sunday morning, seven young people will profess their faith in Jesus in worship here. And what's incredible to realize is that on the day they will publicly claim their love for Jesus, God has had that day for them next Sunday morning, April 23, 2023, all digitized before the world even knew what digital meant, in his little black box. This prayer that we read in Ephesians 3 is a prayer that asks God the Father to help us come to know the contents of this little black box, his. Paul begins the prayer saying, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. What reason? It's been 3 weeks since our last Ephesian sermon, so we've probably forgotten. Let's figure it out. Paul actually tried to begin this prayer at the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1. I hope you have your Bibles open to see that. He says the very same thing there. For this reason, I, Paul, and then he stops and goes off on a tangent. He tried to start the prayer once, got sidetracked. Squirrel. Some of you know the reference. We've got to jump back a bit to chapter 2 to find out the reason why Paul is about to pray. What was chapter 2 about? Well, remember, chapter 2 is all about how Christ is raising up the church, Jew and Gentile, raising up the church like a building, all joined together to each other and to Jesus Christ. Christ is raising up a church in which God himself will live. He will live in the hearts of his people by his Holy Spirit. And Jesus holds the whole building together. You know that game, I'm sure, that party game Jenga. You try to pull little wooden pieces out of a tower, and eventually the tower crashes to the table. The person who pulled that piece that made it crash loses. Well, if you pull out the Jenga piece of the church that has Christ's name on it, the building falls. Christ holds it all together. That's one of the reasons Paul wants to kneel, wants to adore the Father. But then early in chapter 3, Paul gives us another reason. Here it is. Paul writes in chapter 3 about the eternal purposes of God for the world, that Christ is accomplishing as ascended Lord, bringing all things together under himself, ruling through his church. And when the church is united, others and see that manifold, that many-fold witness, that wisdom of God, they are drawn to the church. For what reasons is Paul kneeling down in adoration of God? It is because God is accomplishing the redeeming and renewing of all creation through Christ. He's bringing on the day when he will be all in all, and he's using the church, Christ's body, a body that he raises up believer by believer, one by one, unites them all together, dwells in them, uses this church to accomplish his purposes. That's why Paul kneels before the Father, because this kind of stuff is huge. This is history of the world stuff. That God had been planning these purposes of his that he has had in mind to accomplish from before the foundation of the world was laid. Now getting worked out through Jesus Christ and the church he is raising up. So what else can you do but kneel? Kneel in adoration over that. Start praying. That's what Paul does. He kneels before the Father who lends his name to his entire family in heaven and on earth, to believers who have died and to those who are living. We walk around with God's name stitched on our hearts. He's our Father. We represent him. His name is written over all of us and all over us. With that introduction, Paul begins his prayer. I've got a couple of things I'm praying for. Number one, I pray that out of your glorious riches, God, you may strengthen them with power through your Spirit in their inner being, in their hearts, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. That's the first half of Paul's prayer. What kind of prayer is that? It's a prayer that asks God for power, first of all, not just any power, God's power, not to be used for any old thing either, specifically to be used for us to, listen, give off hospitality. First prayer, give them power so they can give off hospitality. Where in the world is that in the text? Verse 17, give them power so that Christ may dwell in their hearts, right there. When someone comes to dwell with you, you need to be hospitable to them. So give them power to give off hospitality. You know what I mean by give off, right? Light bulbs give off light. Skunks give off very powerful stench. Sirens give off loud, piercing wails. Another word that works here is exude. Give them power to exude hospitality, to give off hospitality. Paul recognizes hospitality is not something that comes naturally to people. Some people have had good teachers, like parents who have taught them how to give off hospitality. Others have a personality that aids them in giving off hospitality, but especially what is needed is the power of Christ. People without Christ are naturally inhospitable. They're not naturally hospitable. The old sinful self, remember, it's all about me. Me, me, me. Doesn't make room for others very well. But then Christ makes his entrance into our lives. And immediately we have our first lesson in true hospitality. Because God has entered the door of our hearts and he's not leaving. He makes us his dwelling place. That's not a few hours or a 3-day visit. It's for good. We immediately begin learning hospitality when Christ enters our lives because he's always there. Think for a moment. Think for a moment about what that means. How at home is Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you made your heart a place where Jesus feels totally at home? When a guest stays with you at your house, many of us, that we know how to make them feel at home. We show them around, we show them their room, show them the towels they can use, show them the refrigerator is something they can use and take from anytime, show them that what is ours is also theirs. The best hosts make guests feel like they are family at home. How at home is Christ in the dwelling of your heart? Ask yourself. Do you welcome him each morning? Do you talk with him throughout the day? Do you seek to learn from him through his word? Do you treat him with reverence? Do you listen to him? Do you regularly get with him? Do you ask for his forgiveness when you offend him? Paul says, you know what? To truly do this right, you need, out of the Father's glorious riches, you need power to be hospitable, to give off hospitality, to exude hospitality. That's a great word to say. Get that in your vocabulary. Exude. It's wonderful to say. Exude hospitality. You need power. God's power. That's the first half of Paul's prayer. Second half of his prayer is this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have what? Power. Once again, it's a prayer for power. Together with all the Lord's holy people, all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's another prayer for power. But this time, it is a prayer for a power that's all wrapped up in knowing and in love. Did you notice that? Paul says, because you are rooted, there's a farming term there, agriculture. You've got the roots of God's love in you, and those roots of love go deep down into your heart. And because you're established, now that's a building term again. It's also the word for grounded and founded, like a foundation. So it's a builder's term, an architect's term. Your foundation of love goes deep down into your heart. Because you're rooted and grounded in love, you've got to have power to know that love. So you have several things coming together here: power, love, and knowing or grasping. It's a prayer that says, Father, give them power so that they can grasp your love. That's the second prayer. That's a strange pairing, isn't it? Power and love. We need power to get a bead on what God's love is all about? Yes, we do, says Paul. We need God's power to grasp God's love, to know it, to be filled with it. In fact, filled with it to the measure of all God's fullness. God has already rooted us and grounded us in that love, but it takes God's power in us to actually grasp what that love is that God has rooted in us, that he has rooted us in. Now, think for a moment about what that means. It means our job as a believer in Christ is to come to know God's love, to grasp it. So Paul asks for power for us to do that. How do you think that power gets worked out of us? Now, the mystery, of course, is that when God answers that prayer for power, he works his power into us. We don't know what he does. We don't know how he does it. That's a mystery. On the other hand, we do have some idea of how that power gets worked out in our lives as we come to know God's love. Some of it is very similar to what we said about giving off hospitality, exuding hospitality. When you are in a relationship with a person, how do you get to know their love? You get to know them. You communicate with them. You talk with them. You listen to them. You open up your day with them with prayer and with God's word. But how do you do that when the one whose love you're getting to know can be like a little black box, so mysterious? We say that God is incomprehensible. He has a love that, as Paul says, surpasses knowledge. His love is so great, you can only know some of it. You can't fully know all of it because he's God. This part of the text describes God's love as how wide and long and high and deep. Reminds me of that little baby game, right? How big are you? You ask that of the little baby in the high chair as they get a little bit older, and you teach her to raise up her hands and arms and say, "So big." Can you do that with me for just a moment? How big are you? So big. Yeah. But the text, beloved, says this about God's love. How big is God's love, congregation? Do that with me. So big, right? Yeah, God's love. His love is wider than the equator, longer than the prime meridian, higher than Mount Everest, deeper than the Mariana Trench. With God's love, no description is really descriptive enough. There is always more of God's love to get lost in. That's because he's our infinite God. And Paul tells us you need power to comprehend that kind of love. And that's what God wants us to be trying to do. And what better thing to do to try to grasp that love? To be filled with all its fullness. God wants to keep pouring that love into us so that it spills out. That's one of the ways also to grasp God's love. There's getting to know him, there's talking with him, listening to him, but there's also experiencing more and more of that love by spilling it out into the lives of others. God will always be ready to overflow his love into our lives. The more we empty it out into the lives of others, the more he pours his love right back into us. You want to know his love more and more? Then pray for the power to grasp a love that surpasses knowledge, that is, one that will even spill into the lives of others. Rick Van Houten, without even knowing it, prayed about that before the service where the elders get together with me and they pray. He prayed that very thing, that our love would be imitating God and spilling into the lives of others. How are we doing with that these days? I think the greatest act of love God does for us is, of course, he forgives us, right? It was the greatest love event of all history for Jesus Christ to offer himself lovingly for our sins at the cross. And in his blood now, we have a loving forgiveness we find there that spills over us. Anne Lamott writes about it. She writes, God's forgiveness, it's like the faucets are already overflowing before you even hold out your cup to be filled. God spills that loving forgiveness into our lives even when we totally blow it. That's because of the cross and what Jesus did there. Think about the times, beloved, that you really blew it, hurt someone you cared about, went in a direction that, well, you knew God wasn't leading you in, did some bad things you still try not to think about. Maybe you even thought or are thinking, God would not, could not ever forgive me for that. Friends, for all that, do you know what God does? He takes us people who really mess up, who sin against God and others, who show so little love, no love, or even hatred because of Jesus and his work on the cross. God takes each one of us like that, and from his vast reservoir of love, spills his loving forgiveness into our hearts. His faucet is open, flowing and overflowing for you and me. It's no wonder Paul gives us this prayer for power to grasp God's love. We need that power. And then also, we need power from him to start to forgive others the way God forgives us, spilling the continual overflow of God's love into the lives of others. Do you pray for the power to love with forgiveness as God does, with the faucets of your loving forgiveness wide open? Do you pray for the power to forgive that way? It's one of the ways you'll come to a deeper grasp of God's infinite love. One of the ways he will fill you to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Are you feeling a little overwhelmed yet? Trying to understand a God who is like a little black box, infinite in his love? Being encouraged to be hospitable and loving with a love that forgives others? It's a little overwhelming. Praying for that kind of power can be hard to handle. Don't know if I can wield it. If you're overwhelmed, listen to the praise of God that Paul puts at the end of his prayer, this doxology. He's glorious with his doxologies, isn't he? If there were any doubt that the power to be hospitable and loving to Christ and others was too hard for us to handle, listen to this. Now, to him who is able to do what we ask or imagine. No, doesn't say that. To do all that we ask or imagine. No, that's not quite it. To do more than all we ask or imagine. No, not there yet. To do more and more than all we ask or imagine. Almost, not quite. To do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's it. Now listen, according to his power that is at work within us. His, did you hear it? His. That power we're talking about asking for, God has totally under his control. If you're worried about getting a little too close to God, being a little too honest with him, making your heart a little too homey for him, loving him a little too much, loving others a little too much, learning to forgive others a little too much, if that's all a little too much to ask, God says, well, you let me handle what you think you can or cannot do with my power. I'm not letting this power out of my hand without being ready, willing, and able to help you use it. I will bring you to depths and heights of love that you thought you could never go, and you will be totally safe because I will be there dwelling in your heart. Don't worry. All glory is mine for the church and for the church's head, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. I won't let you do anything with my love and power that will not be used for my glory and for the building up of my church. How about that? Think about what those young people next Sunday morning who will profess their faith, think about what they will be getting themselves into. Think about what you have gotten yourselves into. You're mixed up with this God, with these his people, and with the power of Christ your Savior. I hope and I trust and I look forward to seeing us all wield that power well as we get to know the mystery of God's love more and more, and as we share it amongst ourselves and with others, all to the glory of God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do pray for the power to really begin to understand your love for us, that it is wide open faucet of love for us. Help us grasp that. Grasp it, of course, so that we may know you more, but grasp it also so that it will spill into the lives of others, and so that we will show kindness and compassion and also have the power to forgive others. Father, you have so much to give us. Help us to pray for the vast storehouses of your riches that includes the power of your love in Jesus Christ. Thank you for Paul's prayer that you inspired him to pray and to write so that we can read it and pray it too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.